the repeal of the 3 controversial farm laws and suspension of 12 opposition MPs for the entire duration of this session shows how the Modi government continues to remain on a warpath, refusing to engage with anybody, particularly the opposition. The hubris of its mandate, of the BJP's mandate, which is now a 300 plus mandate, has meant that this government has consistently and constantly been arrogant, has been confrontational, and really prone to bulldozing its way through without taking anybody, including important stakeholders, along. The problem is not with the decisions of this government. The problem is the manner in which it takes decisions. Every government takes controversial decisions. But the issue is that this government takes all important and critical decisions without engaging, without bringing anybody onto the talking table. The way this government has repealed the farm laws shows exactly that. Now, the passage of the farm laws had become controversial because it was done without adequate discussion, without taking various stakeholders into account. As far as the repeal is concerned, the manner was pretty much the same. So if you thought that the Modi government, with its decision to back down on the farm laws, had shown its intent to talk, had shown its intent to listen, had shown its intent to give in to other people's demand, the manner in which the laws have been repealed show how the government continues to remain as stubborn and as arrogant as before. Just one day into this parliament session, the opposition was already crying horse, was already crying foul, and quite rightly so, because in that one day, in the first day of the parliament session, there is so much that happened. The government repealed these 3 farm laws despite the opposition wanting discussion, and 12 opposition MPs were suspended. Now, the point is not whether the opposition's demand was met with the repeal of the laws, because yes, that was the demand of the opposition. But the point is that it was done without any discussion. And the basic tenet of parliamentary democracy, the basic tenet of parliament, is that every important decision should be preceded by adequate debate. Every key decision, legislative decision, should be preceded by adequate discussion. And if the opposition wanted to discuss, if it wanted to discuss MSP or any other issues related to farm laws, it was important for the government to have done it. It was important for the government to have given into that demand of the opposition. If democracy gives you the right to rule, it also puts on you the onus and responsibility of doing that democratically. And that is something that the Modi government seems to have forgotten. Then again, the suspension of 12 opposition MPs for misconduct in the earlier session of parliament became another issue of contention between the government and the opposition. To be sure, no kind of unparliamentary behavior has any space on the floor of the House, and to that extent, action against errant MPs is not wrong. But it was the disproportionate nature of the punishment, the suspension of MPs for the entire session of this parliament, that really raises questions about the intent of the government and displays its vindictiveness. But this is really not new to the Modi government. As they say, old habits die hard. Ever since this government came to power in 2014, it has been very confrontational and absolutely reluctant to talk to the opposition. Now, often we've seen the blame is placed on the opposition for not being united enough, for not being able to confront the government enough, and for not being able to take down the government on the floor of the House. But really, the onus is not on the opposition to project a united front. That is more of a political question. That's not really a fundamental or structural issue. The onus is on the government to engage with the opposition. So to keep talking about how the opposition has failed is in a way whitewashing the failures of this government in doing everything by keeping everybody on the same page. If you go back to 2014, the first such move was its decision to dilute the Land Acquisition Act. Ordinances have become the go-to crutch for this government, and that was the case even in the Land Acquisition Act. Of course, this government had to back down because of the pushback from the opposition, because of the pushback from farmers, much like in the case of the farm laws. But since then, there are various decisions this government has taken which raise questions about its democratic functioning. So whether it is demonetization or whether it is the passage of bills like the Triple Talaq Bill, the Citizenship Amendment Act, or whether it is decisions like the abrogation of Article 370. Most, and in fact, all of these decisions were taken without any consultation, without any engagement, and really were as high-handed as they can be. Yes, this government does have the people's mandate, and yes, for every government there are tough decisions to be taken which it feels it has a right to do. But no mandate, however handsome it might be, gives the government the right to overshadow the opposition, to overwhelm everything, and to dominate without taking others into account. As I said, the right to rule is not absolute. It comes with the responsibility of ruling democratically. But by reducing the parliament to a mere bill-passing factory instead of a place for constructive debate, the Modi government is doing great disservice, not just to the nation, not just to democracy, not just to parliament, but also to itself. Any political party and any leader or any prime minister who wants to really leave a legacy behind, who wants to be remembered for doing something, cannot do so by merely winning elections. The BJP may well win the next election as well, the 2024 elections, just like it did in 2019, because it has a lot going for it. But yet, it would go down in history for the damage it has caused to constructive debate and discussion in democracy and to the very idea of parliamentary democracy. For more, you can log on to our website, theprint.in, to read my column, Politrics.